From Troy Public Radio, this is In Focus Weekend, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison. This weekend, the world marks Earth Day on Saturday, April 22nd. We're honoring the occasion on this show with two conversations about nature. Later in the show, we take a wildflower hike with Verna Gates, the founder of Fresh Air Family. But first, a refreshing conversation for your taste buds. Last Earth Day weekend, my friend Glenda and I visited Herb Day in Montgomery, where we saw hundreds of people enjoying the plants, woodcraft, and herbal products on the grounds of Grace Presbyterian Church in Montgomery. We stopped at a colorful display of huge glass jars full of blended herbal teas. After sampling hibiscus tea, James Jones, who has a booth called Earthly Joys at the Montgomery Curb Market on Madison Avenue, told us all about blended teas. We're at Grace Presbyterian Church for Herb Day 2022, and we're on location with James Jones, who is with Earthly Joys. Thank you so much for joining us today on Troy Public Radio.
Thank you for having me. It's just a pleasure to be here today.
You are sitting in front of a huge variety of teas.
Yes, ma'am.
How did you get into this?
I'll tell you one thing. I have about 40 different blends. My sister-in-law moved here from Detroit about 15 years ago, and she wanted to go in business. So she bought the jars, and we partnered up, and that's how we got in business. My wife came up with the name Earthly Joys. I did put the work in, so now I'm counting success. I'm on TV, so God is good.
My friend Glenda and I just sampled some hibiscus tea.
Yes, ma'am.
What is it about hibiscus tea that's good for you?
Out of all the teas I have, I would tell most people that hibiscus is really the best tea I have. It's non-caffeinated. You can drink it cold or you can drink it hot. Personally, it is like a diuretic.
And then you showed us some chocolate tea, and that was so unusual.
Well, the chocolate tea, to me, I had brought in a couple years ago, and a lot of these vendors, they told me it was so good. So it really tastes like a chocolate tissue roll. So it's really, but it has caffeine in it, I'll say that much.
Yeah, but where does it come from?
Well, a lot of these teas, like I tell people, they come from different countries. You have the up in Canada, over in Asia, China. So it's so many different teas, so many different countries that they blend in. And even in the United States in certain places.
When your sister-in-law started this, she had been a school teacher. Had she been delving into the history of herbs and how our forefathers used them?
As a matter of fact, I'm sure she did, because she was so eager to do this. I guess by her being from the South, so when she came back home, she wanted to have some, so this is what she did. She brought tea to Alabama. Because, like I told you, in farmers markets up in Detroit, they sell a lot of loose tea. So that's how really the idea was created.
So what is the difference in the teas that you have in these huge jars and those, say, we get at the supermarket?
Well, here it is. These are loose teas, and basically the process, the ones you get at the supermarket is basically the loose tea that's left over. But these loose teas are really it. The process that they carry the tea through, it has a 2-3 year shelf life. So it's not like it's gonna dry out, but it's just the fine stuff that they have when they handle it. I guess even with this right here, you can see at the bottom, see the little dust. And this is what the tea bags be like. You follow me? So it's really like to shake off the tea.
So where do you get all of these teas?
Well, I have a variety of different teas companies I deal with. I deal with about 10 different tea companies.
And they're all loose. Give us some examples of some of the teas that are really popular.
Well, like I said before, the hibiscus is really the most popular tea, but what I've come up with, I've learned how to blend myself, and I've learned how to blend these teas for a purpose. We have a board that gives the benefits, and I try to train my people to come up to learn how to blend something for a purpose. I show them these ones that I have that we use, for example. These are my biggest ones that I do. These are blends. I don't just direct them as a dye blend or as a blend for colds and flu. But if you look at the ingredients, that's what it says. So I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm a brain surgeon, I'm just a tea man.
And speaking of that, elderberry is very popular right now with people in the cold and flu season. Tell me more about elderberry.
Well, here it is. It's natural one. It's an immune booster. Just an example, like echinacea is like it for bacterial infections, but elderberry is an immune booster, and that's what it did so good for the COVID was going on. I did pretty good with it.
Red clover, we see all over Alabama. What about red clover tea?
It is a good tea. For blood work, it says purifies the blood and fight against acne and skin problems. But what I say again, a lot of these teas that we have, a lot of them do the same thing. That's why you have to read and get more information about them. Red clover, it's good for the blood, but blackberry is good for the blood. So you have to understand the whole concept. That's why you got to read. You know, reading is fundamental. That's the basic.
I'm looking at one that you have called lavender tea. I didn't realize you could actually drink lavender.
I'm glad she asked me that question. I have a lot of my customers come by, and this is what I tell them. Lavender, it is a good relaxer. But personally, ingesting lavender, I would blend it with something. I wouldn't tell you not to blend it, but me personally, I wouldn't just drink no lavender tea. I would blend it with something because it is good for relaxing.
Now, one that you have is nettle, and of course we see nettle on the sides of the road. We see mullein on the sides of the road.
I'm glad you said about mullein. This is something I know exactly about mullein. Mullein is something in the South. I know in Tuskegee it grows wild. And it's basically a big old plant with a furry leaf. Really, I guess mullein is probably the best tea. I hate to say that.
And it has that tall spike in the center.
I didn't see it, but a guy brought it to me. Yeah, okay.
So what would you use the mullein tea for?
Like I said, immune booster. That's the basic thing, but colds and flus.
And nettle, what about nettle? And that is stinging nettle.
Yeah, but that nettle is something I personally like it. Kidney problems, okay. And here we go again about teas that do the same thing. Hibiscus are flush.
Right.
Nettle is basically a flush because you're talking about the kidney, so nettle is a flush. Dandelion is, probably the number one flush I have on the table. I don't sell a milk thistle, but dandelion is based on the same level.
And you would not go out and pick dandelion because it could possibly have pesticides on it, herbicides out of the yard.
In the teas, this is a process, how they do tea, that you really, example, hibiscus, if you take hibiscus plant and try to drink it, it's poison. So the process that they make the tea is what makes it tea.
James, there's a really old herb called the yellow dock. And you have yellow dock tea, so what would that be used for?
Well, it's more that like a, it said tones the system, but personally, to me, yellow dock is probably about one of the stronger teas on this table. It is very, very strong. I wouldn't recommend nobody drink it, just by itself. I would blend it with something. I guess that's why I've got so good with blending, and I'm so glad that God gave me the gift to blend.
How have herbs helped you personally?
Oh, wow, that's good. Just look at me. I'm a picture of health. For the last 5 years, I've been working these teas. I've been retired off my job from the Department of Correction. I lost 45 pounds. What else do I need to say?
What is the secret of losing 45 pounds?
Well, here it is. I will say this to anybody. I am the tea man. I deal with all kinds of teas every day. So by me inhaling it, smelling it, but I drink mullein every day.
We need to remind the listeners where they can find you because you're normally at a farmer's market in Alabama's capital city.
Yes, ma'am. I'm at the farmer's market on 1004 Madison Avenue, but I'm there from 8 to 1, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays.
And one more cautionary note. We're talking about where you get your teas from. You don't go out foraging, right?
No, ma'am. I don't. I deal with tea companies. I'm not a herbalist. These teas have a 2-3 year shelf life, and I think that's great.
I want to thank you for being our guest today here at Herb Day.
Thank you very much. You have a good evening.
That was James Jones, who has a booth called Earthly Joys at the Montgomery Curve Market. And he was speaking to us last year on Herb Day and Earth Day weekend in Montgomery. Coming up, a walk on the wildflower side with Verna Gates. That's just ahead, so please stay with us.
I will charm every heart in his crown, I will sway. But I'm lonely. down and neglected, this trail I would flow.
From Troy Public Radio, this is In Focus Weekend, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison. In observance of Earth Day, we took a wildflower hike with Verna Gates, Executive Director of Fresh Air Family and past President of the Birmingham Wildflower Society. Verna Gates, you and I are on an Earth Day hike. Welcome back to In Focus.
It's always such a pleasure to A, hike with you, and B, talk with you, Carolyn. It's always fun.
This is a special day. Where are we?
We're at Shoal Creek Park in Montevallo, and the wildflowers are just putting on a show. And the creek behind us is rolling. We've already seen a frog and a Midlands water snake, which is very harmless, and are just having a wonderful day. It's a beautiful day. The sky is blue, and the temperature is perfect. Time to go hiking.
Shoal Creek. What do you know about Shoal Creek?
Well, I know that it's a great wildflower area. There's a creek here that has birds. We've heard a lot of bird song. We've heard phoebes, and we've heard cardinals, and we've heard some mockingbirds here this morning. And it has a big field. One of its specialties is a big grassy field that in the fall just turns purple and gold. It's beautiful.
It's also beautiful in the spring, and you and I were walking down the trail, and you were identifying things right and left. Well, of course, you're the past president of the Birmingham Wildflower Society, but what have we been seeing?
Well, we've seen a lot of phlox, which is blue phlox. This is such a wonderful time for it. It's a bright blue, just a really beautiful, almost a Wedgwood blue, but it smells heavenly. We've seen a lot of square flower. We've seen a lot of buttercups. We're looking at a lot of sweet Sicily. We're looking at a bunch of violets. We've seen some water willow. We're looking at a lot of ragwort and daisies and wild geraniums, all kinds of beautiful things.
So where is the Shoal Creek Nature Preserve located?
It's in Montevallo near the National Cemetery in American Village. And there's a lot to do around this area. There's Ebenezer Swamp down the road, and there's Briarfield State Park. Alabama is so blessed. I don't know if people know how much there really is to do regarding nature. We're number 4 in biodiversity. And you can go from coast to the mountains, from Gulf State Park to Montesano.
Verna, you're actually an outdoor educator. You are the founder and executive director of Fresh Air Family. How many camps do you run in the summer?
We're up to 70 now, and 17 locations all over the state with kids entering first through fourth grade. We've got some in your area, Auburn, and Wetumpka's coming up. We're working with Dothan, working with Lincoln, Anniston, Rogersville, Huntsville, of course, a lot in Birmingham. That's where we started. We served 2,000 children last summer.
So what are your camp staff teaching these children and their young children about the environment?
We want them to get out and explore and touch it. Until you've held a frog in your hand or gotten muddy or got in a creek and found a crawdad and pulled that out, or worms and millipedes are exciting for children. Touch the plant materials, build shelters, build forts with them, build fairy houses, just to get out and appreciate what you've got and how special it is.
So in a state that is trying to attract industry, trying to attract new citizens, how do you balance the needs of development with the needs of preserving what is obviously one of Alabama's main attractions, the environment?
We're doing that in many ways with Forever Wild. We just expanded Oak Mountain State Park. We're expanding some of our state parks. What we need to do is identify the very sensitive places and also our water. We're number one in aquatic biodiversity. We need to make sure that what we do doesn't harm. I was at a seminar last week about the forever chemicals and how they're trying to clean those up. We don't want those in our water. We're going to drink that. We just need to be smart about how we do it and protect places where we really know there's sandhill salamander, for example, that's so rare, the red salamander. Places like that need to be preserved because we don't know. We know so little about what's out there. We need to look and observe more of what we have. We found medicinals. For example, we have the mayapple here. UAB was doing experiments with that, and they found that it had efficacy, which means, you know, it worked against small cell lung cancer. They don't know why or how. They just know that it does. So how many of those are out here, these rare plants that we have, that might be something your family needs one day?
And the states that surround Alabama all have water policies. Alabama does not.
Alabama's a little bit spoiled because we have so much water. We are top in water, and we have so many species. But we really need to get smarter about it. Out west, when the droughts were so severe and people actually worried about running out of water, the future is not going to be a battle over oil. It's going to be a battle over water. And we need to protect the water that we have, because there are going to be people coming down wanting to be here because you have to have water. Water is everything. It's watering your plants. It's watering your animals, chickens and cows and the pigs, growing corn, and all these things take water. You don't want water that has plastics in them.
You have had a distinguished career as a journalist. Then you switched to outdoor education through Fresh Air Family. What else do you want your listeners to know about Earth Day and why you transitioned from journalist to outdoor educator?
When I was president of the Wildflower Society, I actually started Fresh Air Family before I left Reuters International, where I worked for many years. And I looked around and I said, I'm the youngest person in this organization. And the older people talk about bringing their families on the hikes, free hikes that we did. And I thought, we need to get people back out. And as a reporter, I saw so many tragedies. And I said, we can strengthen our families and our children by getting them outside. And honestly, I thought I would have a weekend hiking club of about 200 people. I had no idea of the need of how many thousands of people we've served since 2006 and 2,000 kids in summer programs. And the lives we've changed. I have kids who come back a year after year and grow up in it. They're now camp directors. But we need to get children out. And as a reporter, I saw people make a lot of dumb mistakes. They were in trouble because of mistakes they made, and they start early. I've read about brain development. And you know, one of the best things they have going for brain development, Finland is proving this too, because their kids are outside even in their terrible weather. And they're the happiest nation on earth now because they're outside. They're outside. The old way of letting kids find worms, roly-polies, crawdads, fish, all those things is truly the best way to develop a solid brain that can critically think. And if you can change one or two decisions that a child makes over the course of their life, you can change everything. And that means it's prosperity for them, their families, for us, for the community, for the nation, for everything.
You know that old saying, you can take the men out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the men.
You absolutely can. We need plants. They give us oxygen, they give us food, they feed our animals. And in Japan, they discovered that there are it's more than 100 enzymes that come off of the air in trees. And they've got this movement called forest bathing, and they're doing a lot of this in some of the parks now, of forest bathing, that just taking in those enzymes into our lungs actually give us a positive feeling. It changes us. It gives us a relaxation. How stressful are people? They're under stress all the time. It's not just walking in the woods and getting the exercise. It's actually the air you're getting from the trees above.
Happy Earth Day.
Happy Earth Day. Take a walk.
Thank you, Verna.
Thank you, Carolyn. It's always a pleasure.
That was Verna Gates, Executive Director of Fresh Air Family and past President of the Birmingham Wildflower Society. Thanks for joining us for this week's Earth Day show. You can take your radio out into the world and hear In Focus over the noon hour most weekdays, and we're always ready for you on demand as a podcast. This is In Focus Weekend, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison, wishing you a happy Earth Day from Troy Public Radio.